Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh. I'm here with Luke and Adam, and we are excited to be here again all together for the first time this year. And
it only took 18 days.
Probably been about a month, you know, since we've sat around the table. So
yeah.
So it's fun. Hey, I want to say welcome to all of you who are with us. If you are a regular, welcome back. If it's your first time or you're kind of getting into this podcast, welcome. Glad you're here. We're going to do what we do a lot. We're going to have some fun, tell some stories, check in, talk about the sermon that was preached on Sunday and kind of some next steps or some added steps or just talk about it. And then we'll have a little bit of fun at the end with a little quiz game. How about that? So
love it. Can't wait.
So check in. How are you guys doing today? How's your week been?
I'm sore.
Yeah.
So I had, so it's funny. I think we ended up cutting it out of the podcast because Luke got sick again. but so whenever you had
the, once a month,
whenever you first had the flu, you know, you had to miss out because you were like running a fever and those kind of things on a Thursday. And so like the first 5 minutes was just me mostly. And then Josh, I was egging Josh in, but just trash talking you for being weak and being weak.
Right.
And then you got sick again.
Sick again.
Like bad.
Yeah. And so the ER.
I had to go to the ER. And so I told Jennifer, who edits the podcast, I was like, why don't you go ahead and take that out of the podcast?
So there's 5 minutes of material somewhere.
Yeah, it's deleted off of a hard drive now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But I was like, man, if he's going to end up in the hospital with pneumonia and those kind of things, I don't want like the podcast coming out of me making fun of Luke being weak.
Yeah.
It's like it was a different illness at that time, but nobody would know that. Anyway.
You want to know who would have loved that?
Tristan?
Me.
Oh. Okay.
That would have been hilarious.
Well,
Tristan, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. But
yeah, she was the one helping you in your weakness.
Yeah.
So I got, so I ended up with something flu-like. Whether it was flu or not, I don't know.
Right.
And so that meant that, you know, for me, I didn't end up going to the gym because of flu sickness.
Yeah.
Yep. And I generally try to avoid the first couple of weeks of the new year anyway.
It's packed.
Because it's packed.
It's packed.
And so I'll work out at home. But because of the flu sickness and stuff, I think I only got like, you know, like one or two home workouts in, but like I went to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the gym twice so far this week, and I'm sore.
Yeah, the first few days back,
I am sore.
And it's stupid. The older you get, so Adam, you know this better than us.
Oh gosh,
the older you get, the quicker you get sore. Like the faster.
Yes.
So like. I remember younger, you could go work out again after not working out for 2 months.
Yeah, you could work out 6 days a week and not be a real problem. Yeah.
Yeah. But now it's like you take a week off and then you start again. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm sore again.
Well, and then I mean, nobody cares, but the recovery time is
longer.
A lot longer. And, you know, you don't really recover after 24 hours. You need about 48.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So work those different muscle groups, everybody.
Yep.
Don't do the same thing twice in a row.
Yep. Yep. That's why you spread it out.
Gun show.
That's why you spread it out. Today for me.
Every day's arm day.
No.
Fill those sleeves, man. Yeah. Fill the sleeves.
No, today for me is arms and shoulders. So,
arms and shoulders.
Arms and shoulders.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the
so that's kind of split you're doing. So you're doing a bit of a they call it a bro split. It's not too it's to where you probably do chest and back one day, shoulders and arms and then legs.
Chest, back and abs one day. Yeah. Arms and shoulders one day and legs another.
Yeah. Do you do it twice a week like that, or do you just do the 3 days?
The rhythm I want to get into is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, alternating those three, and then Friday just a
full body.
A ton of cardio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not full body.
Oh, come on.
No.
Okay.
Hey, just do...
I'll do full body every now and then, especially if I'm working out with a buddy. We usually do full body, but...
So welcome to the Corinth in Your Gym podcast.
That's whenever I'm like... really sore for 48 hours after that.
Yeah.
Do some nice burpees. Just do like 300 burpees.
No.
I do my burpees after drinking Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, no. No burpees. Those are even.
All right, it's cold.
It is cold.
And so today, it's funny, Luke and I both got here early just to turn on the heater in this room.
Yeah.
I think I did it at 8 and you did it at 9:30.
Yep.
And so now we're nice and toasty in here.
Yes.
We don't have to have two coats, just the one.
Yep.
So question, would you rather be outside in 20 degree dry or 45 degree wet?
20 degree dry.
20 degree
every
dry.
Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
20 degree
not even close.
20 degree 20 degree windy or 0 degree no wind?
0 degree no
zero
wind.
0 degree with no wind.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're all on the same page.
Yeah.
The wind is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even if like if it's 20 degrees with wind, if the wind is significant enough, it could feel
zero.
It could feel like zero or worse. It could feel like 10.
Yeah.
But even still, I'd rather have zero with no wind than
something now,
that feels like 10 with wind hitting my
face. We do have to say zero is stinking cold. I mean, you start getting into the single digits.
It's cold.
Wind, no wind or any of those kind of things.
Just, you walk outside and it hurts. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. My buddy in Colorado earlier this week, I was tempted to complain about how cold it was. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, I'm moving to Florida. It's negative 25 degrees here.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's where Tristan and I were in Colorado January 3 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it got pretty cold the last day that we were there.
Yeah.
So we were glad to get back over here.
Hey, what's one meal that you've eaten this past week that you're grateful for? Luke, I know you're passionate about your food. Let's start with you.
Yeah, because I don't remember anything I've eaten.
Yeah, so it's the new year. It is January 18th, and so we'll see if this kick continues. Hoping it does, because we're starting new habits and going to repeat them enough to do them all over. But we're kind of watching what we eat. So I haven't really enjoyed any food.
No joy.
No, just kidding.
We
found some good stuff. We did. We've done it twice now. We did it last week and this week. Just like some Greek pitas, just like grilled mm-hmm. chicken the first time. We did a little bit of grilled steak the second time. It's just on a nice little whole wheat pita bread.
Grilled chicken's nice, man.
Chicken, cucumbers, tomatoes, onion, a little bit of feta cheese and some Greek dressing with some healthy rice and green beans or something like that. Super good.
Now now it's Corinth in your kitchen. So we're just going all around today. I love it. So, Adam.
I don't remember anything I've eaten. I had scrambled eggs for breakfast today.
There you go.
Excellent.
You got to get your protein in there.
Man, I love scrambled eggs. Do you do the whole egg or do you take out some of the yolks?
I generally do whole egg. Today was, so we got some frozen frittatas mm-hmm. from Costco. So I took two of those, got those ready, and then I scrambled three eggs and just chopped it all up and mm-hmm. made that my breakfast.
Yeah.
The only time I remove the yolk from the egg white, I guess, I don't know, anytime I separate it, is if I do like a breakfast sandwich. So I'm like, if I'm putting the egg on like an English muffin or a biscuit with bacon,
you just want the white?
Like that, I just want the white. But if I'm just going to eat the egg like scrambled or fried or whatever.
Yeah. Only time I would do egg whites is if I've got them in a carton and I'm just dumping them into my scrambled eggs. Just mm-hmm.
So I went to Waffle House with a guy one time who ordered a dozen egg whites.
So he's like,
give me the whole flat.
I have been to Waffle House with this same person and he did the same thing.
Cool.
And I know that it's the same person because there's no way we both have been to breakfast with a different person who did that.
You never know. But anyway, it was surprisingly much smaller than you think, because when it's just the whites, it's not
a lot of
much.
Volume.
But that's all the protein in it. So, hey, I'm grateful. Got a new grill thing and did a whole chicken on it. So it sits on there.
Whole chicken.
The whole chicken just sits right on it. You put some juice in it, some spices. It keeps it moist on the inside. It was nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So, hey, we got some questions this week. We're going to blow through them pretty quickly. Sunday, Luke, you asked what questions do people have. So there's a few here. One of them just said Taylor Swift and. I'm not really sure what that is a question,
so we don't
but
have
anyway.
To deal with
that, what do we do? What do we do with sermon series? So any habits that we've tried and that maybe didn't stick? Just a little self-revelation here. I think we've talked about before some things that we've learned, you know, how to correct some rhythms we thought we were going to do better. And then we realized, hey, I'm maybe trying to add too much or it's not working for me. So
I've got a couple of habits I'm trying to start this year. I'll share one and is flossing.
All right.
Like legit dental flossing.
Right.
You know, not a dance move or anything like that. But and really,
is that one of the keystone ones?
That, well, for Groeschel it is.
For Groeschel it
and
is.
So that's where the idea came from.
Right.
And I was, you know, his theory is he started it because he hates it, mm-hmm. and so it tells him every day, I can do things I don't want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I can do difficult things, and so it's like, you know what? That's probably,
we're
gonna give it a go.
I love it.
You know, the next time I see the dentist in 6 years, they'll probably be really happy that I started. I don't know how long it's been since I've seen the dentist.
I am going to the dentist in a couple of weeks for the first time in, I think, like 6 years.
I have no clue last time I went.
Yep.
But I've only had one cavity in my life, So
nice.
That you know of.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Luke?
I think just as far as like the any habits that you've tried that didn't stick, like even just what I was talking about a minute ago, like I said, we're on a health kick right now, which means that we've tried to be on a health kick before, but then weren't on a health
sure,
kick.
Yeah.
And then, you know, holidays, calendar, harder to get to the gym, all that sort of stuff. And so that's been kind of something that we've been working through for really like the last year. Mm-hmm. And there's have been seasons where we've been really, really good at it, and then seasons where we've not been really, really good at it. And I think just one of the insights from this sermon series and Rochelle's book, The Power to Change, is just like it was really, really important to me, just the chapter. I don't remember the chapter. I think it was go from so to
yeah, it's
so to end.
It's in
so
to
who? Chapter four.
Yeah, it's in part
before,
four.
Before the reaping and sowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's what type of goals are you actually creating? Are you mm-hmm. creating so goals that say, I want to do this so I want to get healthy so I can look better. Uh-huh. I want to look yeah. healthy so I can be healthier. I want to look be healthy so I can play basketball with middle school students
right.
even whenever I'm 50 years old
right.
or whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
Which those aren't necessarily bad things, but they're fickle and they're not going to keep you
yeah.
on that trend. And so it's changing from the so to who. It's I want to get healthy because I am a person who follows Jesus and understands that mm-hmm. my body is important
yep.
Yeah.
to my spiritual life. And so I'm going to take care of it. So it's just that's been helpful for me to just kind of attack the lifestyle of eating choices and exercise a little bit better at the beginning of this year. So.
Yeah. Love it.
Yep.
Love it. Hey, here's another question. Valentine gift giving.
No.
Question mark.
Nope.
Here's, I hate it, but Tristan loves it. And so because I love Tristan, I will give her a gift.
All right.
Yeah, even if it's small.
I think whenever we were dating, like all those years ago, mm-hmm. back in the 1900s, I think we decided we're not doing Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So it's a Hallmark holiday. So.
Yeah. Us too. For the most part, don't do anything on that day. It's a Wednesday this year. So,
yeah.
You know.
Sorry, Tristan. I'll be at youth group.
We'll be teaching a class or something. Next question. Do you think the Chiefs will go to the Super Bowl again?
As of today, which is Thursday, January 18th, when we're recording this, they have yet to play the Buffalo Bills.
Correct.
In the divisional round on Sunday. So this is not answering the question, but I will say this. I do believe that if the Chiefs beat the Bills, that they, yes, will be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with that. Here's how I'll answer the question. I'm more confident today that we will go to the Super
yeah.
Bowl than I was all season.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's that Bills game. I was talking to your son, AJ, about this yesterday. Adam, how funny would it be if we beat the Bills and the Texans beat the Ravens?
Yeah, and it's back at Arrowhead again.
And the AFC Championship game is back at Arrowhead.
Arrowhead Invitational.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
I would love it.
I think that we've got a good chance.
Bills are banged up on defense, I think, right?
Bills are banged up on defense.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes.
Josh Allen's a roller coaster, yeah, yeah. And he had a great game last week.
He did play a really, really good game.
And so that means he's probably due for a not great game. That's just the way he goes, man.
Well, a lot of people are like giving the Bills the edge, which, I mean, I guess you should because
they're
the home. They're hosting the game. But statistically, through his career, Patrick Mahomes is actually a better quarterback on the road than he is at home.
Yep.
So
it's funny.
It's going to be an interesting game. Yeah. Should be fun.
It just took him 15 playoff games to actually have to play one.
Yeah, I have to hit record, and so it starts at 6:30 on Sunday. So we'll be at youth group with the middle schoolers. So I'm going to have to hit record and avoid the spoilers for the first quarter and rush home to.
I'll start text
it from
you
the beginning.
I'll text you.
Sweet. Cool. Just tell me if I want to turn it on or not.
I can.
So there we go.
Last question.
Yep.
Make it quick. Any embarrassing preaching stories? Adam apparently has none.
That I remember.
He remembers.
But generally, I block out stuff like that.
Block out trauma.
Yeah, you block out trauma.
Yeah. No, I've got one happened fairly recently, and within the last year or two, I was preaching here at Corinth, and at the end of the sermon was trying to do something a little bit different and powerful to kind of drive in a moment for not only the people I was interacting with, but for the kind of the audience who is watching. So I was washing the feet of some of the teenagers, yeah. And I was doing that on what the audience would say is the left side of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I went down in the first service, the 9 o'clock service, to wash their feet, I guess my pants weren't as tight as they should be, and I had no clue. And so I'm like just kind of bent over the whole time on my knees, washing feet, preaching my heart out, you know, spirits moving, passionate, all that sort of stuff. I get done.
Could you feel the spirit? I mean,
yeah, there's a little wind.
Yeah. Fresh breath, the spirit, yeah. Pneuma.
Yeah. So I get done. I get done feeling pretty good. One awesome dude at the church who loves me because he told me something that I needed to hear, you know. He's like, hey, man, come over here for a second. He sat on the edge of the – and like he sat in the part of the auditorium where you would see what you would expect to see if I'm describing what I'm describing. And he's like, hey, next couple of services, why don't you just like make sure that belt's notched up really good? And I'm like, oh, no, don't tell me that this happened. He's like, yeah. I was like, how bad was it? He was like,
it's bad.
Full moon, buddy. Oh my God. So,
well, hopefully Adam will not experience his first traumatic preaching.
No, I'm not saying I haven't Sunday. Had a traumatic one. I'm just saying that I don't remember anything.
Well, nevertheless, hopefully we don't have a new one on Sunday from you, Adam, in this message. It's been a great series so far. This is week 3 of Habits. It's been intensely practical, highly practical.
And
just this whole series, we've been talking about living better lives, having better habits, not just because, I think, Luke, you alluded this to, you know, earlier, not just because, like, if we're working out, not just because our body or something like that, but it's there's bigger goals. God has a life for us to lead families, to talk to our ones, share our faith. And so a lot of that comes down to habits, though. And so God changes our lives through our habits. So Adam, why don't you recap Sunday's message in a few sentences, and we'll jump in.
Yeah, Sunday's simple. It's all about how do we stop a bad habit. That's that's exactly what it is. So based on who you want to become, what's one habit that you need to stop? And so that's where we spend our time camping out and looking forward to just kind of recapping that. But that's exactly where we were.
Luke, any highlights for you? You think through the message, what we need to stop, and what was it for you that stuck out?
Yeah, I think just going through what is shared, just the question, how do you break a bad habit? I think that like identifying the cue and then making it hard to experience that cue is just so key.
Mm-hmm.
I tell students a lot, like one of the verses I think about just in regards to like breaking bad and maybe even sinful habits, I'm reminded of what Jesus says about like, hey, if your eye causes you to sin, get that thing out of there.
Yep.
And if your you know, right hand causes you to sin, then cut it off. And I mean, I don't know if Jesus was saying actually do that or not, but what I absolutely see him saying is if something's causing you to sin, then by all means, take any means necessary to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so like I've told a ton of students before, just like with different sin struggles, like, you have a sin struggle that you only deal with in your bedroom at night when the doors close and you're on your phone.
Yep.
Well, maybe don't have any electronics in your bedroom at night.
Yeah. And they look at you like you're the craziest person alive.
I'm the craziest person alive. Like, how could you ask me to give that up? Well, because I care about you. That's why I'm asking you to give that up. And so it's like, let's maybe talk to your parents about what it looks like to get your electronics out of your bedroom and different things
like that. You know, it's interesting. Jesus says, you know, cut off your hand or whatever.
Right.
It's like nowadays the phone seems to be an appendage.
Right.
So it's almost like cutting off your
hand. I bet you people would rather lose a finger than lose a smartphone.
Maybe.
Could you use a smartphone without that finger?
Oh, yeah. If it's on one hand.
The other hand.
Okay. Yeah.
On the other hand.
They fit in one hand still.
Yeah.
They might not in the future.
Just use Siri the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's just if there's a bad habit that you want to break or a sinful habit that you want to break, make it as hard as possible to engage with that, right?
Yeah, James Clear vocabulary would be, so if we're trying to start a good habit, you're trying to eliminate friction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
make
it easy. And so if you're trying to stop a bad habit, you need to increase friction to make it difficult. So it is the, you know, if you struggle with overspending, it is why you have seen people like literally take their credit cards and freeze them
Or they cut them up.
Right.
You know, I think a more modern approach to that would be to actually remove them from your saved autofill in your web browser.
Your wallet and stuff, yeah.
Take them out of your Amazon wallet so that if you're going to do it, you actually have to
do the hard work of putting
Work of going and finding the credit card, putting all the number in instead of just the autofill and using your Face ID or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's a good point. I've told people before, it's like, hey, listen, if you will promise me that your phone will sleep in a different room than you, I'll buy your alarm clock. I'll just buy you an alarm clock.
That's great, yeah.
Because
that's my number one excuse. Well, how am I supposed to get up?
I know.
In the morning?
Even like, and so just take the sin out of it. Even it's like if you just want to not be distracted and not waste time. I know I waste too much. Like, and so that's the thing for me. And so like, dude, just make your phone somewhere else. I'll buy your $9 alarm clock on Amazon. It plugs into the
wall.
And
it'll probably do a better job of waking you up.
Yeah,
because you've probably snoozed your Apple alarm clock so much you don't even hear it anymore.
So Luke, we started out this series or the sermon yesterday with really just one really quick verse, Judges 16:1. So you got that? We read it?
Yeah, I've got it. Well, no, that's Hebrews 12. Scroll into the right spot. Here we go. Right. Judges 16. One day, Samson, big strong Samson, went to the Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute.
All right, so not the typical verse that you would just launch into the summer with. It's,
I hope nobody's life verse or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's tattooed on your arm or something.
It may not be their life verse. It may be the verse they've lived.
Yeah,
yeah. And I think what stuck out to me from the sermon was just the illustration later of 56,250 steps. That's the average of, you know, walking 25 miles and how so much of our life – you know, the overnight successes and the overnight failures are not overnight. Neither one of them are. They're a bunch of habits that have stacked up. And so, man, that just one day is what launched us into the message. Such a key point. Some examples were given there. You know, I don't want an addiction. I don't want to be bankrupt. I don't want to ruin my marriage.
Right.
What other, you know, examples right now could you think of? Maybe, you know, different stages of life. Maybe Luke, you're thinking through teenagers or somebody maybe without a family or something. What other examples of just things might happen one day at a time?
Yeah, I mean, if you throw the word student out there, you immediately think of just like maybe their algebra or chemistry class, right? It's like, I don't want to, by the end of the semester, have failed this.
Right.
Because I haven't, you know, put the right habits into place to work hard and to position myself to study well, you did fail because you did it one day at a time. You didn't pay attention. And over and over, and it became easier. And the result is, oh, it's the end of the semester. And my teacher just pulled me aside and been like, hey, you've got like 2 weeks to turn this around or you're going to fail this class. And it's like, I don't want that conversation. Mm-hmm. But that's the conversation I ended up with because I didn't discipline myself throughout the semester.
Yeah, you fast forward even a few years after that and it's, you know, I didn't want to lose my job, you know, but I showed up late, called in sick once a week. I put in a half day's worth of effort in an 8-hour frame, you know, while I was there. And then all of a sudden my boss calls me in 3 months, 6 months later. And it's like, we got to let you go because this isn't working out. It's like, well, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, didn't want that, but it was the one step at a time, you know, Groeschel, Clear, anybody, they talk about how habits are cumulative and they are compound. And so it's the, they stack up, but then also too, there's that compounding interest thing. Which I think it was C.S. Lewis called it like the
most powerful force in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Lewis or Einstein?
It was Einstein. It was Einstein.
Yeah. And that if you can figure it out, you can get it to work for you instead of against you.
Yeah.
And, it's that compound effect of, you know, 30 days in a row of showing up late to work is cumulative and compound. It's making things worse because guarantee that your manager, your boss is madder on day 30 than he was and by a compound effect.
Yeah. It's not, it's not one day. It's not one plus one plus one.
No,
it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
It's,
And so it compounds, it accumulates and it compounds at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing. Good habits and bad habits both have those things.
Right.
And the Samson example is an example of a bad habit that he had throughout his life. You can't read through his story and not see these just really poor choices, bad habits, wrong place, wrong time. And it eventually ends up in this place where he's got his eyes gouged out and he's a prisoner.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is the wrong place, wrong time, not because he just so happened upon it.
Correct.
Like again, he took 56,250 uh-huh. steps.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he chose to end up in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Correct.
So,
and do you ever think it's just like, bro's walking 25 miles in his sandals. Uh-huh. I mean, he's not even have comfortable shoes on.
No.
And
before the on clouds.
Yeah, before on clouds. So to walk 25 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably a full day's travel.
I've done that. It's hard.
Was it a full day?
Well,
was that Grand Canyon?
It was the Grand Canyon. I don't think that Samson was hiking the Grand Canyon, so it was just a straight line. But yeah, it's a full day.
I mean, from Zora to Gaza, I mean, you're talking, I think you got to cross, I know you got to cross rivers.
The average person, I think, walks, if you're like mall walking, like exercise walking, you know, you're doing about a mile every 15 minutes.
Okay.
So 4 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So at the very least, you're 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, considering the conditions and all those things, I mean, you're talking a full day. You may even take a day.
10 hours.
He may have even taken a break and slept through the night, you know.
Killed a lion or something like that.
Killed a lion and ate some honey.
Yeah.
But, you know, did the dude ever just sit there and go, wait a sec?
Huh. And that was really my next question, is because I think of this verse in Corinthians that says, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll mm-hmm. always provide a way out. And so I'm thinking, what ways out were there for Samson? And then what are some of the cues that we might miss that God's trying to say, hey, bro, hold up, stop, stop. Well, and we ignore them.
If you just think about the number of steps, like you could even make the argument that God gave him 56,250 ways out.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Like over and over again. But he just kind of refused to listen or to stop and think.
Yep. Yeah. So for us or for our listeners, what are some things that maybe are... are they people in our life? Is it a song on the radio? Is it a reading of the scriptures? What are some common things that God might try to use to get our attention that we might, you know, push away?
So I think scripture, 100%, that this is one of the reasons why being a regular reader, a voracious.
There you go.
Reader.
Voracious.
You know, scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Is important because that's one of the ways that God, and I think we're going to end up talking about this next Sunday.
It's probably cumulative and compound as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. You know, but that's how God renews our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps it there. I think that there are the voices of the people around us. Now, it's the right people around us.
Yeah.
Because there will be people who will cheer you on to your demise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like, keep on, man, this is great. Isn't this fun? But there's wise voices in your life. And I think those are probably, for me, those are generally the... And then there's the, I would say, the Holy Spirit intuition, too, of mm-hmm. just...
Yeah.
This doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard it described before, like the Holy Spirit is like an alarm clock. And so the more you snooze him,
correct.
The less you hear him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good word, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything to add, Luke?
No, I would... Yeah. Retweet all of this stuff. It's like it's God's word, it's God's people, it's God's spirit prompting, and it's all of these things.
Well, I think also too, I'll throw another one. I think regular church attendance. I mean, you know, it is one of the reasons why it's such a great habit is because you are putting yourself in an environment to where some of those things are going to be called out, and they will be called out. It just maybe it's that Sunday, that's going on as well.
Yeah, I just read. I think this morning, just the parable of the soils, which is like this parable that Jesus tells about how to listen to all the parables and kind of like what's mm-hmm. how are your ears? Are your ears, you know, fertile soil that can hear? Or is it rocky or is there thorny? You know, is it shallow? So really just kind of the state of our heart and our ears to listen to those promptings that he brings our way. So
and to bring it back to habits, like the habits that are a part of our lives kind of determine to a certain extent the position of our hearts and our ears.
Mm-hmm.
Too, oh, yeah. Right? Like it
works together.
The more negative the habits, probably the harder our heart is going to be and the more distracted our ears are going to be. But the better our habits, the maybe more softer our heart is too.
So, oh yeah, that's absolutely.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. You're putting yourself in a position to succeed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so really that launched us into some application stuff where, Adam, you started out with this question. Same question as last week, mm-hmm. except just slightly flipped here. Based upon who you want to become, what is a mm-hmm. habit you need to stop? What
right.
is one habit you need to stop instead of one habit you need mm-hmm. to start? So,
yeah.
Luke, you got Hebrews 12:1 this time?
Yeah, I do.
Excellent.
Yeah. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Excellent. So, Adam, you talked about it's that verse really gets at the throwing off, like
yeah.
getting rid of the things that weigh us down. And mm-hmm. another Groeschel line, I think, you can't defeat what you don't define.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good line.
Mm-hmm.
How? What are some maybe best practices for defining our bad habits? One that jumps to mind is you got to be specific.
Yeah,
you can't just be like, "Well, I want to lose weight."
Correct.
Drill down a little bit more.
Right.
So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that the key is that phrase, you can't defeat what you won't define. You know, sometimes the reason why we struggle, we wander, and we maybe have pockets of forward progress, and then we get on the roller coaster and we go back down the other way, is because we haven't really gotten specific as to what is causing the struggle here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me in my physical fitness, it's not really working out. You know, if I struggle with anything physically, it's my diet,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. and I know that if I wanted to get down to, you know, 10% body fat and all those other, I know all the steps that need to be done,
mm-hmm.
I just don't want to do it.
Right.
And, but you have to be able to define those things. And we'll always struggle whenever it's just like, man, there just feels like there's something I should be doing mm-hmm. or I shouldn't be doing. And you got to name it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be specific. Luke, anything to add there?
I think you got to, sometimes it's helpful to go a little bit deeper behind it too. Like if, mm-hmm. if we run this, you know,
yeah, that's good.
If we run this health thing, right, we may think my bad habit is overeating.
Right.
And that probably is true for that particular context. But you maybe even asking the deeper question of why is it so easy for me to overeat?
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to think.
That's where the cue comes in later.
You think spiritually just about how, oh, maybe it's easy for me to overeat because I'm bored. And maybe I need to avoid being bored and different things like that.
It's boredom. It is. Sometimes it is just I'm trying to. In some ways we self-medicate with food.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I feel down or I feel happy.
A cup of ice cream.
And so I'm going to eat my feelings. We actually have a phrase that we use.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Yeah. I loved also just this sort of juxtaposition, I guess, that, in good habits, the pain is now, but the payoff is later.
Mm-hmm.
But bad habits, the payoff is now. Like it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the pain, though, is later. So let's just talk about that for a minute. Do either of you have examples from your own life or just what you're thinking?
I mean, I think you go to the gym, and I think that's the clearest example for me. That's one I used in this message. You know, you the pain is now. You have delayed onset muscle soreness, and and it hurts. It's not good, but... You know, you keep up with it, the DOMS starts to go away and you start to see results and it's like, oh, wait, I don't have to buy an entire new wardrobe. Oh, you know, I do feel healthier. I'm not tired all day long. I do have more energy. And so it all comes on, but it takes time. And then the bad habit is the eating the box of donuts,
mm-hmm.
which feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
good,
especially Walnut Grove donuts.
Oh yeah,
sour cream crullers.
Those things are great. But dangerous. I'll tell you what, man, I'm dead serious. A box of Entenmann chocolate frosted donut. Those things are lined with heroin. They gotta be.
Are you talking the full size donuts or the little ones?
The full size.
Don't mess around with no little donut. If you're gonna eat a donut, you know. But
you could have three little ones.
I'd rather have six big ones.
Hold on. That doesn't quite add up.
But you know, but the problem is if I do that every week, you know, the math is simple. And you can find this anywhere. But you know, an extra 100 calories a week over a year is 10 pounds.
Right.
And so,
but 100 calories less
over the course of a year is
10 pounds less.
You're down to
a swing of 20 pounds.
And so you add those extra things in, and once again, it's cumulative and compound. And it adds up over time. But in that moment, it's like, it's just a sleeve of Oreos.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a chocolate donut. But the pain comes later of just like, why do I have to keep buying new pants? You know?
Yeah. Luke, anything for you?
Yeah, I am thinking about just as far as reflective rhythms and stuff like that. Like, good habit would be waking up early in the morning, so that you can read your Bible.
Yep.
Getting up at 5:30 in the morning stinks, especially if you are not in the practice of doing it. The payoff is way later in something like that. But the bad habit of sleeping in and snoozing your alarm clock and all that sort of stuff, it'll feel good because you might feel a little bit more rested, or you get to stay in your cozy warm bed when it's 10 degrees outside. But, you know, you're going to lack intimacy with God, and that's going to affect the quality of your life and all that sort of stuff. So the pain is later too. So it's with any example, these juxtapositions.
Yeah. I'll give one, as well. For me, I know when I'm healthiest, I want to be going to bed on time. And so it's kind of like the opposite of waking up on time, because I'm going to wake up early regardless, because I want to be up before my kids. I want to do a little bit of reading and that sort of stuff. But I notice if I'm not in bed on time, then I'm not as patient as I need to be in the morning. And I also just end up wasting time, or you watch this video or whatever it is. And so when I'm at my best, I'm putting my phone away, I'm reading a book, in bed at the right time. And, man, I feel the difference. There's a couple of years ago, I probably did best at this, and I'm trying to get back on the right track right now. And so far, so good. But a couple of years ago, I remember just reading more books that year than I had any other year of my life, because that was, I had a specific rhythm of at night, the phone was away by, I mean, a certain, like probably earlier, like 8 p.m. or something. Like I didn't look at it until the next morning. And then I was reading a book. So anyway, we just got to make some choices to succeed. So
love it.
So how do we break a bad habit? Well, we go back to the habit loop. We identify the cue, and then we interrupt the response. So let's talk through that just a little bit. Adam, to identify the cue, you related this Charles Duhigg story about a girl who was biting her nails. That was
It's pretty gnarly.
That was kind of wild. It reminded me of the show My Strange Addiction. Did you ever see that one?
I never watched it, but I know the premise of it. It sounds fun.
I never watched it either, but I do remember hearing about a person who ate a mattress, like they ate part of their mattress. So, and we think, here's why I bring that up, is because we think, I would never do anything like that.
Yeah.
But we find ourselves doing things that we all do this that we wish we wouldn't. So we've got to first identify the cue. Adam, you gave the five most common cues.
Yeah.
Places, times, mood, moments, and people.
Yeah.
There was some great illustrations there in the message. What would you say in regards to those? How would you kind of reiterate that, or other examples, or emphasize? Which ones do you want to emphasize here?
Yeah, no, let's just walk briefly through through each one there, because I think this is
really meaty.
This is important.
Yeah.
So, places. We are more likely to do certain things in one place than we are another. And so the cue is just actually being in that place. Okay. So if you're an alcoholic, going to a bar, or going to a party where there's alcohol, if you struggle with, you know, getting high, smoking weed, going to those environments where that stuff is going to be prevalent and in front, that is going to serve as a cue of, hey, I should do this as well. Mm-hmm. Because everybody else is doing it. Even the smell, the aroma, and all those other kind of things can be something that can just drag you back into.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I need to do this. So it is a place thing. Whereas if you're in a positive location, those things probably aren't going to take place. Like I remember, you know, it always was amazing whenever you take kids on mission trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this example. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I've never had a kid. I only took a few. You guys have taken more, I think, than I did. But you probably have never had a kid come up to you on a mission trip and just go, man, I'm just struggling with looking at pornography while we're out here building a house for people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really, really doesn't happen.
And this has been several years ago at this point. But one of the things I heard so much was people, they would always see like a third world poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, the comment was always, these people here are just so happy and content.
Right.
It's like, well, because there's not stuff to make them discontent.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And so it's the place. The place is a cue.
Mm-hmm.
Time mm-hmm. is a cue.
Yeah, so
time of day, specific time of day. And we all have, and this is an audio podcast, not a video, so you can't see me using my hand like a roller coaster. Okay,
right.
But imagine that. You know, we all have just different ebbs and flows to the day. And so there are certain times of the day whenever things just pop up. And Luke, you already gave the example. It's like it's late at night. You're in your room alone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a young man, old man, you know, anything in between.
Young woman, lady, too.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
There are certain temptations that we face at certain times. And it's not really necessarily a temptation, even though it is what it is. But it's just like we've learned – hey, it's this time of day. It's time for me to do this.
For me, one of the things I'm trying to get better at is just meaningless scrolling on social media.
And I
know that the time that I'm most susceptible to that is after I go to lunch and come back to the office for afternoon work, because I'm a morning person. I'm most effective in the morning, so I can crank out a ton of stuff in the morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and if I get back into my office with more stuff to do in the afternoon, I'm more mentally drained, and so it's easier for me to go. So I know that that's the time.
Yeah.
So there's
to avoid with the phone.
There's a word, and it's actually your chronotype. All of us have different energy ebbs and flows throughout the day, and so we've got to be aware of those things.
Yeah.
And most of us, especially if you're a morning person, you have that natural downslope of energy right after lunch, and so. We know the time is going on right there. So the cue is probably, you know what, I'm just going to do meaningless scroll through social media, those kind of things. Right. Whereas the positive flip would be, okay, this is a really low energy point of the day for me.
Correct.
So I'm going to do meaningless tasks that don't require a lot of energy.
Yep.
I'm going to take a nap. Uh-huh. I'm going to do this because otherwise I'm going to fall into this thing to where I'm not getting done what needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Walking down to the teen room and picking up all of the inevitable trash that is always in the teen room.
Exactly.
So
you've got places, you got times, you got moods, and the acronym was HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Any of those things, you're vulnerable.
Yeah. HALT. Hey. Stop.
Yeah.
Run away.
Yeah, and we make horrible decisions when we're hungry.
Mama always said, man, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry.
There you go.
You will spend twice the amount.
So did Dave Ramsey.
We make bad decisions when we're angry. We make bad decisions when we're lonely. We're tired. And so these are just cues that are just like, hey. And that's why the example I used on Sunday was, I think that's why Satan came to Jesus after his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, because he was halted. He was hungry. I don't know that he was angry, but lonely and tired for sure. So
I mean, he was human and he didn't have food for 40 days.
Might have been a little hangry.
He might have been a little hangry.
Moments. We do the same thing after a moment in time. So I'm not for sure if I'm going to use this one on Sunday or not, because this was like such a, this was such a youth ministry specific example, but It's like you have a fight with your parents, and so you call your boyfriend, and you're going to go make out because you're angry. You know, and it's just like, I just want to go do this. You know, the other ones that I've noticed in people's lives are, it's like, you know, a bad day at work, or it's the anniversary of a death or a passing, and so they go get obliterated. You know, you flunk a test, so you get high to console yourself. You pass a test, you get high to celebrate. You know, it's just. But those are the moments. And so what we've got to do is we've got to learn. And then the people one is a huge one as well. And so to me, all of these things, these cues, come down to, and we've already referenced this, to Jesus saying, if your right eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And so it is, what measures do we need to take? Because we want to identify the cue. You got to know the cue. What is it that causes the bad habit to happen?
Yeah.
Okay. But then it's not just identify, there's like a sub point to this, is if you can, remove it.
Okay? Remove the cue entirely,
Remove it entirely. If you don't have to have that cue in your life,
right?
Remove it. So one guy I know, it was online gaming. Mm-hmm. So it would make him angry, which would make him want to drink, which would make him want to get high. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I'm just done with it. I don't want. So what he did was, he just got rid of the computer.
Oh, nice.
Okay. It was just like, that is cutting your right hand off. It's like, if I don't have it in my space, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Correct.
And so that's removing the cue. And so you've got to be aware of these things that are going on. And so for the Biden.
And you've got to avoid the excuses to make too, because it would be really easy for him to be like, well, I know that like the online gaming thing happens on the computer, but like I need my computer though, because I have to use it for other things and work and stuff like that. Yeah. Or, for me, what I've said before is, well, I just want to delete, like, I know it would be so good for me just to delete Facebook and Instagram. Oh, but I'm a youth minister and I run pages for Instagram and Facebook. And it's like, well, come on, man. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to be aware of those excuses that you're naturally going to make.
Yeah. And
get past
those. And in some cases, like you are correct.
Right.
You know, you do have to run those pages.
Right.
And so it is, then it's interrupting the action, the response. And so it's like, okay, here's this cue. Here's this thing that could, you know, really, really just trip me up. And so I've got to make it difficult on myself to be able to avoid falling into the bad habit.
Right.
And so we're interrupt it, you know. And so... That's really that next step there of interrupting the response of, here's the cue. Okay. For the girl, it was biting. It was, she was craving stimulation.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yep.
And so I didn't go into detail on it, but what the psychiatrist had her do is, he's like, okay, here's what I want you to do.
The biting of the nails.
Is I want you to carry around an index card. And every time you feel the urge that I need to bite my nails, I just want you to put a check mark on the card. Okay. And so she came in, and the next time that he met with her, he's like, let me see your index card. It had 30 checks on it. So I don't know if it was a week. What it was. Okay. And he was like, okay, now what was it that was going on? And it was just like, well, I was bored, you know, or I was feeling a little overwhelmed, you know, because he was like, you need to keep track of how you're feeling in that moment. And he's like, don't bite him. You know, I just want you to like ball him up or something like that.
Yeah.
And so he said, so the next time, here's what I want you to do is, the next time this, in between our next session, get the index card out. We're going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Every time you feel the sensation, I need to, because like it got to the point where she said her fingers would just start like throbbing of just like, you've got to release that feeling. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I want you to put the check down, but here's what we need: a new response. And he said, I want you to, instead of biting your nails, I want you to, you know, wrap the table.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Or rub,
scratch your arm,
you know, just rub your arms just a little to give yourself that physical response. And he's like, and then I want you to put a hash mark next time you do it. And basically by the next time that she met, she only had seven checks.
Okay.
And they all had the hash marks, and within a month, she was done biting her nails.
Yeah.
And so it was interrupting the response, though, was the key thing. Okay, I understand what's going on here. I'm bored. I need some stimulation. So I'm going to interrupt the response instead of, it's really it's replacing the response too with something positive.
Which is biblical. Which we is can biblical. Talk about that in Ephesians, yeah.
Yeah. It's I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this instead. And that's what allowed her to get out of that, really just unhealthy habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love, man, so much good there. So the, like, scripture would say things like, don't do as the wicked do, mm-hmm. and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. That's Proverbs 4. 2 Timothy 2, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Mm-hmm. I love that, youthful lusts.
Yeah.
And then the Ephesians, I don't think it's in here, but just the, if you're lying, tell the truth. If you're stealing, don't steal, but work with your hands so you have something useful to give and you replace it. And so
Colossians 3 is the same thing. Yeah. Take off the old and put on the new. Yeah.
So you're still getting a response. But like, I mean, God created us, so it's not a surprise that we would get, you know, a good response from serving other people or giving to them.
Correct.
And so we don't have to just go selfishly or our own, you know, habits to fulfill our needs. Selfishly, we can be outward. And when we look outward, we're actually still fulfilled inwardly. So,
yeah. So one of the key points, and I know we're bumping up against our time, but one of the key points from habitologists, which what a great title.
That's a great word.
Is that you can break a habit, but you're unlikely to forget it because the neural pathways.
Oh, yeah, that pathway is there.
So what
it's
you're
logged in.
It is logged in. And so this is why, and this is moving a little bit into next week, but this is why willpower isn't just enough.
Not enough, yeah.
On the practical side, you can't just resist the temptation. Mm-hmm. You can't just forget the bad habit. The secret to it is you've got to overwrite it with something new.
Right.
And with something positive and with something good. And so the real secret is so you've got the cue, you have the craving, you have to insert a new response.
Yeah.
Right.
And a equal reward that comes from it.
Yeah.
And you've got to do it enough to where you overwrite
your brain gets it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the way that Groeschel summarized that brain stuff in Power to Change is it rhymed. So that's how I remember it. He said, neurons that fire together wire together.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you're creating that response, your neurons are firing, and eventually they're going to rewire to actually replace that old thing.
Yeah, you're rewriting the code, and you're writing over the old bad code in your brain. And so, it's golly, guys.
How long did he say? I don't remember because he offered a couple of different suggestions. How long did he say it takes?
66 days.
66 days.
So there's two schools of thought. It's the same thought, but, you know, so you probably heard it takes 21 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. That's not really true. Mm-hmm. It probably takes closer to 66. But the other thing, too, is that it's not just 66 days of doing the habit. It's like 66 good repetitions of the habit.
Right.
So in golf practice, it's not that you just go out and hit 100 balls, okay, and it's like you're going to get better.
Yep.
You've got to do 100 good swings for it to start getting. Because I took a lesson a couple months ago just trying to get my driver fixed. And he'd be like, okay, now this is what you need to do. He's like, but here's the thing. You got to remember, you're going to have to do this probably 100, 150 times correctly for your body to learn the right motion and the right movement and those things. And so it's the same thing with our habits. It's going to take a lot of reps doing the right thing. And so that's where the heart of all of this as we wrapped it up. So bottom line, habits you have today, shape who you are tomorrow, blah, 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 all those things. But the real end of it is that you've got to believe that change is possible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's like I don't know if I'd say it's the number one, but that's a huge component because like what Duhigg found, and he does a great job, that chapter, I think it's chapter 7, Because he talks about Alcoholics Anonymous, Tony Dungy, all kinds of great things.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they found was the reason why AA works so well is because of step one and step two. Mm-hmm. Is that you're walking in acknowledging belief, and you've got to believe that change is actually possible. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, mm-hmm. that should be like the easiest thing for us to grasp.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
With Christ, all things are possible. I can experience change. I can be made different, not because of me and my willpower, but because of the power of God that's living inside of me.
Yeah.
And so you got to believe that it's the
And that's next week, right? So yes. Not willpower, it's God's power. So
yeah.
We'll wrap up with even more of an emphasis on, hey, you know, you can change things about yourself and make yourself a better person, but really God is the one driving you to be the best, because he made you for that.
Right.
So come back next week. We're excited about that. And once again, glad you were with us. And let's play a little game before we get out of here. Just real quick.
I like games.
I like games. All
right. That I win.
Well,
I don't like games
that
I lose.
All right. We got an odd habits and quirks quiz. Okay. So you got to tell me what these words mean here. Which of the following, we'll start with Luke and then we'll go to Adam. So there's 10 of them total, I think. Anyway, which of the following best describes an easily irritated person? Is that person tetchy, gregarious, flashy, or superficial?
Tetchy.
Tetchy.
First one.
Is correct.
Yeah.
All right. That was an easy one.
It was pretty easy. Process of elimination.
One. Yeah.
On those.
Which of these, Adam, best describes someone who is vainglorious?
Vainglorious.
Okay. They used to be more famous than they are now. They love to boast. They work to help others, or they are respected by their peers.
It's the second one.
Mm-hmm. Loves to boast.
Love to boast.
There you go. One for one, both of you.
We're Luke, smart.
If someone complains, these are bad habits or odd quirks, okay? So if someone complains about things that are not important, they would be said to be caviling, rhapsodizing, belauding, or jubilating.
Oh, well, that one's tough. I know it's not jubilating. Go to give me the other three again.
Caviling, rhapsodizing, or belauding. If they complain
gonna,
about
I'm
things
I'm
going to
say
that are not
important. The first one.
Caviling.
Caviling.
Hey, you got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It means, it comes from a Latin word, cavillari, which means to jest.
Yep.
There you go.
That's Adam, what I was going to say.
Yeah. I'm the acting person... like I knew that there was Latin origin and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. All Latin.
Yeah, that's right. Latin. I read that.
Yeah, I thought it was Greek.
I mean, I was thinking, yeah. Yeah. All right, Adam, you're up. A person who is difficult to please might be best described as being a laggard, impertinent, fastidious, or cavalier.
Oh, gosh.
Difficult to please.
What was the second one?
Impertinent.
I'm going to have to use that one because I don't think it's the other three.
Ooh, our first incorrect. Fastidious.
Fastidious?
That would have been my last guess.
Meticulous or scornful or in an obsolete sense, disagreeable or disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay, Luke, you're up by one.
Fastidious sounds like a compliment,
the name of a knight.
Here we go, Luke. This one's for you. The definition of screeve is to exclude from a will, to write as in a letter in order to beg. Number three, to take credit for someone else's work or to pretend to be a priest. What is it if you screeve?
I hope it's that one, but I think I'm going to go with what was the third one?
To take credit for someone else's work.
I think I'm going to say that one. Screeve is to take credit for someone else's work.
Wrong. It's to write, as in the form of a letter, in order to beg. So you're begging. You're a
someone.
Screeve. You're a screever, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Don't want to be a screever.
No. Okay, Adam, which of the following words means to breathe noisily? Terry, snotter, cavort, or lambast?
It's got to be the second one.
Snotter?
Snotter.
You're correct.
Yeah.
There you go.
Snotter, yes. Functions also as a noun with the definition of, quote, nasal mucus.
Oh,
so yummy.
All right, Luke, if you are cadging, then you are...
Sorry, cadging?
Cadging. C-A-D-G-I-N-G.
If you're geocaching?
Cadging.
Cadging.
All right, you are growing increasingly filthy. You are preparing food. or you are learning more about yourself, or finally, are you persuading someone to give you something for free? Cadging.
Read number one again.
Growing increasingly filthy.
Okay, we're going to go with number four.
Persuading someone to give you something for free.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, there you go. All right, Adam, number eight to you. We got two more after this. Which of the following definitions best matches the word ingurgitate? To swallow greedily. Number two, to insist on only eating certain kinds of food. Number three, to feed someone else. Or number four, to stare at someone who is eating. Ingurgitate.
Oh, my God. What was the first one?
To swallow greedily.
Let's do that one.
So, like, I'm going to steal your food and ingurgitate it, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
You're right.
All
right.
Can we just...
It's kind of like regurgitate and gorge. They're all related. Coming, here you go, Luke. You knew this because it was Latin.
Yeah.
So, from the Latin word gurges, meaning abyss.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Latin.
Can we not go past the fact real quick that one of those options was to stare at someone eating?
Right.
Now, speaking That's of bad weird. Habits, have you ever, has anybody done that to you?
Yeah.
Or have you done that to people?
Yeah.
I found another bad habit quiz, like, who will actually admit these bad habits that you do? And it's like picking the nose or, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, anyway, here we go. Which verb, Luke? Which verb means to pretend to be sick in order to avoid doing work? Maligner, manger, or misalign? Wow.
Yeah,
they're all close.
That's very tough. Manger was what Jesus was laid in, so.
Well, M-A-I-N-G-E-R.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. Incorrect.
Yeah.
It's maligner.
Malanger.
I don't know. M-A-L-I-N-G-E-R comes from
Latin.
No, French.
See, that's why I didn't recognize it.
Yeah. Sickly or ailing. All right, Adam, last to you. I think if you get this, I think you win.
Okay.
Because I think Luke's missed twice. So.
Man.
I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? Which of the following verbs is described as, quote, to laugh loudly or immoderately? Quibble, gibber, cachinnate, or carp. That's spelled C-A-C-H-I-N-N-A-T-E. That's how I said it.
That is such a fun word.
I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but that's my guess.
So say that, the options again?
Number one, quibble.
Uh-huh.
Number two, gibber, okay. G-I-B-B-E-R.
Okay.
Cachinnate or carp, C-A-R-P.
And it's to laugh?
To laugh loudly or immoderately.
No, so... immoderately or loudly, does that mean the same thing?
No, those are different. Like,
it feels like those are two different.
Well, moderate, if you're moderate would be
appropriate
quietly,
level.
Immoderately would be like you're just over the
it's
top,
an obnoxious
so loud.
But immoderate
obnoxious.
Is too quiet, though. I mean, that
inappropriately.
Yeah.
About that? Okay.
So, let's just go with gibber because I just want to say that.
Gibber. Incorrect. It's cachinnate. All right.
That would have been my second
like
guess.
Cackle. Okay, they're related. And that one is from Latin, so I'm surprised you didn't know it, Luke.
Well, that's, yeah, absolutely.
We tied.
There you go. All right, so fun, odd quirks or habits. We all got them, but we're trying to stop the ones we really need to stop to live the best lives God has for us. We got one more week of this series. You're invited back, of course, next week in person to Corinth. For not by willpower, but by God's power. And then next week to see you back right here, Corinth, in your car. We will be here, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Or your gym. Then. Or your kitchen.
Or your kitchen. Corinth in your gym, kitchen, car, or anywhere else you might be.
Well, not anywhere else you might be.
Most places you might be.
Most places you may be.
And you're comfortable bringing your smartphone too.
Yep.
We will see you there. We love you. We like you. Have a good week.
Is there anywhere anybody's not comfortable taking their smartphone now?
Yeah, I was about to. I didn't want to beat that one in either.
People like.
We'll never.
Yeah,
we will never be.
Hour.
Yeah, we will never be Corinth in your bathroom.
I bet you we are.
We are.